Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we are pleased to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend David Ubben from The Athletic to the program. David, what's going on, man? How are we doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you guys doing?
We are doing very well. And, David, obviously a lot to get to on the Tennessee front today, but I want to start with the news from earlier this week with Gus Malzahn ending up as the next head coach at UCF. Both Joe and I just thought it was the most Tennessee thing ever, that maybe UCF ends up with maybe a better coach at this point in charge of their program. What was your reaction to Gus Malzahn being the head coach at UCF? And do you think that that's a route maybe Tennessee should have explored?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, if I had been in Danny White's shoes, I think Malzahn would have been probably number one on my list. You know, I think people underestimate just how difficult it is. I mean, he was at Auburn, what, 8-9 seasons, never had a losing season. That kind of consistency is, I think, what Tennessee needs. And, you know, was Gus Malzahn going to win a national championship at Tennessee if he took over this job, win an SEC championship? I'd say probably not, but I think the list of people that I'd be confident would is probably one coach long. So, you know, if you can get some consistency, you know, I think that could have helped. And obviously that experience throughout the league. And, you know, I think the Kevin Steele situation certainly complicated matters a little bit. I think that might have cooled them off of Malzahn possibly. But, you know, it is what it is. We'll see. I think it's going to be really tough to compare those two because UCF and Tennessee are in such different conditions. But, you know, I'm sure fans will find a way either way.
Yeah, see, like the Kevin Steele, and I'm totally with you. I think Robbie and I both are in terms of Gus as a really good option and someone you could feel pretty good about getting you to a point that Tennessee needs to get to before it starts talking about all this other stuff. But the Kevin Steele part of that's just weird to me, David, because, like, remind me, what is Kevin Steele going to be doing in the fall of 21? Is he going to be like taking phone calls in the football office at 800? Like, why would he be a factor in anything?
Well, I think they were hoping that whoever they hired would keep him on board, and it seems like that is not really the case right now. You know, him and Josh Heupel have not had a lot of conversations, from what I understand, at least recently. Nothing official has been decided. But, you know, Tennessee could have just as easily, you know, mailed an $800,000 check to Auburn and simplified this whole process, because that's basically what they're doing with this Kevin Steele situation. But the whole thing has been bizarre. I mean, they're out here, you know, again, signing off on Jeremy Pruitt hiring a defensive assistant, you know, right before he gets fired, when, you know, everyone that I had talked to and everything I had heard that this is where it was going. And, you know, what did they, you know, did they think that Kevin Steele might be the full-time head coach? I'm not sure. It's just a weird deal. And then you're hiring defensive assistants before you hire a defensive coordinator. Just, like, odd stuff. I have stopped, being astounded by some of the things that I've seen at Tennessee. It's just weird, weird things that just, like, are not how most people do business. But then again, Tennessee has a way of finding themselves in situations that not many people have been in. So, you know, when you're in unprecedented territory, all your decisions can be unprecedented as well.
Well, there's no question about that. David Ubben from The Athletic, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. David, I want to get your thoughts on the offensive staff that Josh Heupel has put together, and particularly how it relates to the quarterbacks and the competition that we think will be in place there, with Salter coming in, obviously Harrison Bailey still in the fold, Hendon Hooker as well. What do you think it means for the quarterbacks with the staff that Josh Heupel has put together here?
Well, I think if you called, you know, if you were asked someone to describe Tennessee's offense the last 3 years, you could go, I don't know, 50, 60 pages before you'd get to quarterback friendly, I would say. But this is kind of what this offense would describe itself as. I mean, Joey Halsley out here, you know, talking about letting quarterbacks rip and not being afraid to make mistakes. And, you know, if you said afraid to make mistakes, I think that would certainly be a much more fitting descriptor of Tennessee's quarterback position the last three seasons than quarterback friendly, wouldn't it be? I mean, that's kind of what we've seen is, hey, check it down, hey, all these things. And, It's been tough to watch. And I don't know if Tennessee's gonna light the world on fire, but I do know it'll be a more aesthetically pleasing brand of football, whatever that means, come fall. So it's been an interesting situation. But I think, if you're a quarterback, you've certainly got to be excited. They talked about they want to put a lot on their quarterbacks. They want to let those guys let it loose, and they're going to be able to freelance a little bit. And we didn't see a lot of creativity from Tennessee's quarterbacks the last 2 years. And I think that's, if you're Hendon Hooker or Brian Maurer or Harrison Bailey or Caden Salter or, maybe Ty Simpson, you got to be pretty excited hearing about that.
Yeah, afraid to make mistakes, and then all of a sudden, oh, Kentucky, here, have some free touchdowns. It's like it was like one extreme or the other, right? Yeah, I mean, to me, David, that's where you start. I mean, look, obviously, I think this fan base was not exactly inspired by this hire, but if you're going to get excited, and of course they're going to get excited before we get to the season, I mean, that's where you start,
three,
right?
9-3.
That's right, baby. But look, to me, like we've been talking about the Nashville Predators today, and I think it's when you have a bad team, it's bad. But if you have a bad team that can't score, it's worse. Have a bad team that gets outscored at least, right? So at least Tennessee should be, like you said, more aesthetically pleasing. And if you have a great quarterback in this offense, it seems like you could maybe cause trouble for some people. But you wrote about the offensive staff this week after a. For one thing, I know a lot of fans won't care about this, but your last point, I know I care about it. They gave you these guys for a long time, very different from Pruitt, which, again, to me, at least for the fan experience of a program, they're going to get more information, which to me is a good thing if you want to engage with your fans. But what else? What other impressions did you really come away with from all those guys the other day?
I mean, they're playing the continuity card. This is not going to be the sort of, all-star staff that we kind of heard about from Jeremy Pruitt initially, where you got all these guys that have all these national championships and they're coming together and, it's a super team and Jeremy Pruitt's, assembling is also. That's not this. A lot of these guys don't have, these high-powered resumes, but they've been together a long time. Glenn Ellerbe, followed Josh Heupel from Missouri, and now he's following him to Tennessee. Joey Halsley, goodness, I remember playing – Joey Halsley was Oklahoma's holder on NCAA, 07. I remember this deeply, a bajillion years ago, when Sam Bradford was setting everything on fire. But, they've been in the same meeting room for 13 years. He took a couple years off, but they've been together forever. Alex Golish – and they have some experience in the past, but, he followed him over here. And then, of course, Cody Burns, they had hired him, previously. But that continuity is kind of what they're going for. You got to lean on that. And will that translate? We'll see. I mean, I think certainly that knowing each other, knowing how to work with each other, that trust, I think, can help. I'm not sure that ever happened. I mean, if there's, one thing that I think I would guarantee about this is that I don't think Josh Heupel is going to be making 12 coaching changes in the next three seasons. I'm not sure how this is going to play out, but if there was one thing I'm certain of, I think it's that. And, I think that can pay off. I think that was a really underrated part of why things did not work under Jeremy Pruitt. And, I wrote about it at the time, and I said this doesn't seem like a great path to success, and I got shouted down. And then he fired his defensive line coach 4 games into a season. Hey, maybe that's not a real sustainable way to run a program. I'm just saying.
David Ubbin from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And David, you brought up Ty Simpson, and I think originally was going to make his decision this week. The winter weather has pushed that off a little bit, but a highly recruited quarterback Tennessee is in the mix for. How big of a deal would it be for Josh Heupel and his staff if they can land Ty Simpson?
I mean, I think he's the most important guy in this 2022 class. I kind of feel bad for him because they're up against it. Ty Simpson, from everything I understand, he loves Tennessee. He would love to come to Tennessee. But there's just so many variables. I think the comparison to Cade Mays is actually pretty interesting. You have this, superstar player who loves Tennessee, who'd love to come here, but there's so much upheaval. There's so many questions. And he looks around, and he's got Nick Saban staring at him. He's got Dabo Swinney staring at him, just like Kate Bays, you know, had Kirby Smart and Georgia staring at him and saying, why do I need to roll the dice? Why can't I take this sort of more sure thing? And, yeah, if Ty Simpson comes to Tennessee and is the next great guy, a great quarterback, and, you know, helps revive this program, yeah, he'd be an absolute legend. But he might also, you know, struggle and have to deal with a coaching change, you know, as a junior or sophomore or whatever, and then have to decide that again and end up transferring. I mean, that's certainly a possibility, and you don't see that as much at Alabama or Clemson. He's really, really important for them. I think if Jeremy Pruitt had been here, Tennessee would probably be the favorite right now. But as it stands, you know, they're definitely an underdog. But he's not signing anything next week. He's committing. I would think, you know, Alabama or Clemson, depending on who you talk to, you hear those two are sort of co-favorites, Tennessee, probably that number three spot. But you got 10 months after this to try and make an impact. And I think when you see what's happening in the spring, you keep that communication line open. He's been a priority. And then if you come fall and, you know, your quarterback's slinging it around, you know, I'm sure Ty Simpson's ears perk up. So I said they're going to lose the battle, but I don't think the war is quite over yet.
Yeah, and I mean, you talk about sure thing, maybe sure thing with winning, but maybe less of a sure thing that you will be the quarterback at Alabama or Clemson too, given how they recruit every year. But yeah, that's it seems like it's trending that way, and that's a good point. You know, next year you have a chance to continue to make an impression before anybody signs anything. So, David, you're focused, moving, looking forward. So many things going on with this program, but you also looked back this week. Really fascinating Q&A with Butch Jones. For anybody who hasn't checked it out at theathletic.com, it's really interesting. I thought Butch opened up more than I would have guessed he would. And then get, you know, naming names or anything, but he had some really interesting things to say. What was your big takeaway from that interview?
Well, I think he definitely has some regrets about his time at Tennessee. I think he would agree with one of the main things that fans were frustrated with, and that he probably agrees hurt him, which was just that he spent a lot more mental energy on things that didn't matter. I think he would definitely agree with that. You know, as he would say, sort of keeping the main thing, and being inside the Alabama machine and seeing just how nothing changes them. It's sort of whatever happens, happens, you know, we move on. And that was really not the case with Tennessee. It seems like under Butch, it was kind of something new, especially those later seasons. You know, spending a lot of time worrying about things that didn't really matter. And, you know, I think it's going to be really interesting because Arkansas State's a really good job. You know, they've won 5 Sun Belt championships in 9 seasons. I think, you know, if he doesn't win a Sun Belt championship at Arkansas State, I'll honestly be surprised. But I think the most interesting thing will be, well, whatever happens next for him, you know, Arkansas State has been a launching pad to some really good jobs, and I think they'll probably get one. And is that a fishbowl job? Is that a run-of-the-mill Power 5 gig? We'll see. But what happens next I think will be really interesting because I think that's where he'll be tested the most. I mean, Arkansas State's a good job. It's not the same level of scrutiny. You know, you're not under the microscope as much, you know, in Jonesboro as you are in Knoxville. And I think I'm interested to see when he gets another chance at a big place what those lessons look like and if he can, you know, play out a different history. We'll see. But it's just, it's very interesting. I understand all the reasons why Tennessee fans dislike him so much. I think a lot of people were interested to hear what he had to say. But he is Tennessee's most successful head coach, no question, since Philip Fulmer. It's not even a comparison. You know, 3 winning seasons in a row. He's the only guy who's done that since Fulmer in 2002-04. I mean, that's crazy. 3 winning seasons in a row. That's not that hard, if we're being honest. We see that a lot. And it's crazy that, you know, he's the only guy that's done that, and Tennessee's only done that one time in almost 20 years. I mean, that's, you know, it was really interesting to talk to him.
It's coming full circle. Bring Butch home in 2024. I can see it. Come on back.
Sure. We're going to throw a parade, yes.
David Ubbin from The Athletic has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. David, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. David Ubben, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. When we come back, we'll dive back into the news of the day from yesterday. Carson Wentz traded to the Indianapolis Colts. What does that mean for the Titans moving forward? How scared are you of Carson Wentz as the quarterback of the Colts? We'll revisit our poll question of the day coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The Indianapolis Colts are also winners in the Carson Wentz trade. Not because they got Carson Wentz, but because they've still got Frank Reich. If anybody can fix Carson Wentz, it's Frank Reich. Make no mistake about it.
That was Stephen A. Smith from ESPN discussing the trade in the news of the day yesterday in the NFL. Carson Wentz being traded from the Philadelphia Eagles, now the quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And Joe, let's revisit our poll question of the day at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. How does the Carson Wentz trade to the Colts make you feel about the Titans' chances of winning the AFC South in 2021? And the options are: you feel better about it, you feel worse about it, or you feel the same. 232 votes are in. 58% going with feel the same. 28% say they feel better about the Titans' chances to win the AFC South. And 14% say they feel worse.
I think there's a little bit of Titans fans. I think that's a hopeful result. I don't see how, like, so again, in other words, you feel the same or better from Rivers to Wentz.
Right.
Like, to me, I would feel worse. Slightly, without knowing exactly where it's going to go. But I think the ceiling is higher.
I think it is, too. I did find it interesting that, you know, you and I spent a lot of time this past season talking about Philip Rivers and the limitations that he has. But I did find it interesting that, like, Stephen Holder was on with us earlier from The Athletic, who covers the Colts, and was pretty complimentary of Philip Rivers and the way that he played, and pretty much said that he was exactly what the Colts wanted him to be coming in there. Now, again, I think if you go back and look at top-level Carson Wentz, based on, you know, the Philip Rivers and the version that we saw of him last year, top-level Carson Wentz would be better. But I think Porth put it perfectly earlier. I think Carson Wentz lowers the floor for this team, for the Colts, but he probably also raises the ceiling as well.
Yeah, so obviously you'd love to see it be the floor and Wentz to stink like he did last year and just, you know, Colts go 7-9 and they're not even a factor. But I mean, to Holder's point, you know, they did go 11-5 last year. I mean, they lost the division, a tiebreaker to the Titans, so it was pretty good. And I do think that Wentz, on the flip side, the ceiling side, I think he can take them a step beyond. If he's even just 2019 Carson Wentz. 2019 Carson Wentz, as he pointed out, 27 TDs, 7 picks, good QBR. I think his QBR in 18 and 19 was like 11th and 12th. I mean, he was top four in that 17 season. If he's that guy ever again, this is a great move for the Colts. I feel like the parameters of this deal in terms of reaction are, on the one hand, you have Orlovsky here, and we love Dan Orlovsky, friend of the show. Don't always agree with him, but he's a great analyst who is talking about, like, their top four, and he's talking about Wentz as an MVP candidate.
And we've got that clip right now for you, available to you. Dan Orlovsky talking about Carson Wentz and what he does for the Indianapolis Colts coming into the fold here as their quarterback. Here's what Dan Orlovsky had to say on that move.
You know, I think the reality for this move when it comes to the Colts is it places them. I think there's four teams as we sit here today that are top of the AFC conference. Kansas City, obviously. Buffalo, obviously. Cleveland, and this puts Indy in that top four. Number two, I would put Carson Wentz into the MVP conversation. I believe in him and Indianapolis that much. And then three, I'd say this. This 2021 Colts team is going to look a heck of a lot like that 2017 Philadelphia Eagles team. You're talking about a top five offensive line and run game. That's what he had in Philly. Philly didn't have a star in 2017. They had like four or five really good pieces around them. That's what Indy has, top 10 defense. I believe in Carson Wentz, and I know everyone's talking about the mental aspect and all that, but I think that this is a absolute home run for the Colts and something that the Eagles will absolutely regret 2 or 3 years from now.
So to your point there, Joe, our boy, friend of the show, Dan Orlovsky, talking about a home run for the Colts and maybe putting Carson Wentz in the MVP conversation when everything's said and done.
Yeah, so that's one extreme. I mean, we're talking as rosy a view of this as you can possibly see it from the Colts' perspective. And then the other side of this, it's like the ceiling and floor with Wentz. We got our guy Jared Stillman yesterday, and I'll just paraphrase Stillman's quick post. He's like, "Oh, I'm out of breath. I just did 4 push-ups. I'm all sweaty, and the Colts are going 0-16. Yay!" I mean, it's like, dude, are you sure? Like, I mean, I understand, like, there are concerns with Carson Wentz, but I don't think yesterday was a day for Titans fans to celebrate. We'll see. We don't know, but I think much more of Wentz's career has been good to very good than one awful year with an awful offensive line. Obviously, he had issues with Peterson. Obviously, he had issues with them drafting Jalen Hurts, and he didn't handle it well. So you could look at that and say, okay, is there a red flag there? But he is going back here to be reunited with Frank Reich, who got the best football out of him in the first place. So I think a lot of this is also just we don't know how permanently affected Wentz is by the injuries. He certainly had some serious ones, and that does happen. So maybe that was part of last year, and he can't get it back to what he was in 2019. But I agree with Thurlowski, at least in terms of all the things around him now are exactly what you want as a quarterback. You couldn't ask for a better situation. I'll go here too. We had Holder on, but at The Athletic, we had all of our Eagles writers weigh in on this in a piece too. And, you know, these are guys who obviously covered it closely the last few years. And that includes Shil Kapadia, a friend of the show, but Bo Wolf and Zach Berman. And they all said buy stock in Wentz right now. Not that he's going to be the MVP or the Colts are going to win the Super Bowl, but by stocking him, you know, watching him year after year, he's probably going to bounce back and be pretty good next year. And I think that's the safer bet.
Well, it is. I think it's interesting. And TD brought this up earlier on the show with us. You've heard some chatter out of Philadelphia that, you know, like the fragility with Carson Wentz, not physically, but just the way he's handled some of these situations and has not maybe mentally handled these situations the way you'd hope from your franchise quarterback. You talked about, you know, obviously, you know, the friction between him and Doug Peterson and having a problem drafting a quarterback, you know, with Jalen Hurts coming in and how maybe that's a concern with Carson Wentz as they move forward here. And TD talked about, you know, maybe not handling that the way that your franchise quarterback should handle those situations. To me, you would hope that, you know, having a situation that you're familiar with, if you're the Colts, with Frank Reich being in charge there and the relationship and the seemingly good relationship that those two have, that helps that. But if I'm a Colts fan, I am concerned about that part of it. If, like, you know, what happens if you start the season next year and things are going the wrong way? Can he mentally overcome that and be in a place where he can dig himself out of a hole if it doesn't start off as well as you would hope it would?
Yeah, and that's totally fair. Totally fair. I mean, it's going to be interesting, but I don't think yesterday was some day of celebration for Titans fans. I'm going to do this to Jared because he does this to me all the time on his show. I'll text him and he immediately reads it. So, okay, here's Jared's text he just sent me. Quote, "You are such a honk. Dan Orlovsky is every bit the hot taker Stephen A. Smith is. He just played sports. That's it. It's like Dan Dockich. He's lying, insecure talk radio host who just happened to at one point coach. He just says bleep to get attention." End quote. So, Jared, a little bit down on Danny O. I will take Dan Orlovsky's analysis every day if we could get on the show. I think he's great. He's not always right, and I think he's overstating this one. But I think Dan Orlovsky's awesome. So, I'm sorry, Jared. You lose.
We'll see if we can work on that, getting Orlovsky to come on every day here on the show. And we'll see if we could get him to come on Jared's show as well. Maybe we'll do that.
Orlovsky and Jared arguing every day. I would sign up for that.
Could be. Maybe that's something that we can work on. When we come back, we'll continue this conversation. Got some texts from your reaction to Carson Wentz to get to on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll do that coming up next. But right now, I got to tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. And one of the things that I have loved about betting on basketball is I'm always finding new player props or game props that I like. And what's cool about FanDuel Sportsbook is you can combine those props with other bets from the same game to score an even bigger payout and it's called the Same Game Parlay Bet, and you can only find them on FanDuel. You can combine the player point totals, the money line, the over-under, the point spread, any way you want to take it, you can do that on FanDuel Sportsbook. And right now, new and existing users can get up to $25 back each day if your parlay falls one leg short with Same Game Parlay insurance. You heard that right, every single day. That's why I bet on FanDuel. So just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today to try a Same Game Parlay and use promo code ROB at sign up. That promo code is ROB. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. A max refund of $25. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. And for problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. Reds fans, join us Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. for Smashville Live. Smashville Live airs every Wednesday on 102.5 The Game during the Preds season and will feature Preds players, former players, and other special guests. And we've gone virtual this year, so that means you can watch the show online via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and thegamenashville.com. Smashville Live, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. To view or listen to past shows, go to thegamenashville.com/Smashville Live. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, taking you through this Friday morning, reacting to the news of the day. Yesterday, Carson Wentz traded from the Eagles to the Colts. He is now in the AFC South and is taking over as the quarterback for Indianapolis. Joe, let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben texts in and says, I don't think we're going to win the division as of right now. It's more about what the Titans have to do to fill holes and improve. We've got a lot of problems. Carson and Phillip Rivers are similar enough. The ball is in the Titans' court at this point.
Yeah, that's a reason to take. Stillman, by the way, says, enjoy your Rams-Colts Super Bowl. So, and I'm not saying that, by the way. I am saying I like the Rams as a contender. I don't necessarily like the Colts. I just don't think that Wentz to the Colts is a reason to get excited. You know, you get excited when you realize they have to resort to just going with Jacoby Brissett again. That's when you have a parade in Nashville.
Yeah. And who knows? I mean, we've had somebody on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, say if it goes poorly with Carson Wentz, like, when does Indy pull the plug and make Jacob Eason the starting quarterback?
Ooh, boy.
How long big arm. Does Carson Wentz get?
Big arm, big arm.
Four games in, say, now we're going with Jacob Eason, baby.
Yeah, that would be – hey, if that's the case, let's remember this. Let's remember this, and who was right? Sweaty Jared.
Oh, God. We talked earlier in the show about another quarterback in the AFC South, Deshaun Watson. And, you know, obviously buzz still coming out of Houston that there will be a lot of trade interest surrounding him. And we talked about an article from Field Yates that he put together on ESPN.com predicting the 32 starting quarterbacks for next season for the NFL. By the way, Field Yates joining Darren Donica Chase today at 12:30. But, Joe, one of the places and one of the interesting moves in this piece by Field is Deshaun Watson ending up as the next quarterback of the Carolina Panthers. So we've heard the Miami Dolphins thrown out there. Some people have said the San Francisco 49ers. I've kept my eye on the Saints and what the future looks like without Drew Brees. But Field Yates going with the Carolina Panthers, what do you think of that? And what do you think of that fit if that ends up being the case? And that's where Deshaun Watson ends up next season.
Well, it's fascinating to think about the Panthers going to the extent of sending McCaffrey the other way, along with, I assume what, Bridgewater, McCaffrey, there's a bunch of picks. Hey, you know what? I love Christian McCaffrey, and I outright reject this, you know, broad brush that, like, running backs are all the same. I mean, come on. I mean, we know that's not true here. The Titans did a great thing by signing Derrick Henry last year to a long-term deal. But I think I'd do it if I was the Panthers. I think I'd send Christian and say, hey, good luck to you. You'll love Houston, and we'll take Deshaun and build around that.
I think I would too. And, you know, it's interesting to kind of watch what Matt Rhule is trying to build there. And look, I think Teddy Bridgewater, I think he can be good. You're never going to win big with Teddy Bridgewater, at least in my opinion. So, you know, Deshaun Watson, he's one of those guys that if it comes across that he's available to you, to me, if you're a franchise that doesn't have a quarterback that you feel great about, you've got to do almost, I think, whatever it takes to get that guy. I mean, how many teams have spent, you know, the last 10, 20, 30 years searching for a quarterback? Like, think of the Chicago Bears. Like, why they wouldn't bend over backwards to do everything they could possibly do to try to land Deshaun Watson, which, by the way, after they passed on him in the draft, which is still amazing at this point. But like, yes, just think about how long that team has been trying to land a franchise-caliber quarterback. Like, sometimes you just got to pay a heavy price and let the chips fall where they may after that. And I agree. Like, if I'm the Panthers, maybe that is a really high price, and maybe McCaffrey would have to be included in a package, but I think I'd have to do it if I'm Carolina.
Yeah. No, I think you have to do it if you're about anybody. We talked earlier on the show. I threw it at you. Okay. You're John Robinson, and the Texans are like, you know what? We want to be known as the all-time dumbest front office in the history of sports. So we would like to trade Deshaun Watson to you in our division and play him twice a year for the next decade.
Right.
If you're John Robinson and they said, but we need Tannehill and Derrick Henry. You know, I'd love – I mean, we may need to do this poll question next week.
You know? Yeah.
Not that it's a pure – you know, obviously it's a fantasy hypothetical that would never happen. I mean, I know the Texans are dumb, but they're not that dumb. But that's a fascinating hypothetical. I think I would do it, although I would – it would hurt, but I think I would do it.
It would hurt a lot. I like, it's really close to me, but I think I would do it too. I mean, Deshaun Watson is one of those guys that – I think when we're 10, 15 years down the road from here, and, you know, obviously assuming that he can stay healthy, I mean, he's a guy that's played at a level where, I mean, he's going to be a Hall of Fame player. I mean, he is an absolute stud back there, and those guys don't just come around very often. So, you know, there's the noise coming out of Houston that they're not trading him, and, yeah, hey, thanks, but no thanks. But I think you and I both would agree, and I don't want to speak for you, but I certainly believe that it's going to get to a point in this process with Deshaun Watson where if you're Houston, moving on from him is inevitable. Now, there are people that believe he's going to hang around and eventually Houston will figure this out. I mean, Stephen Holder said earlier in the show today he believes he'll still be the quarterback in Houston next season when the season begins. So it's not a 100% sure thing that he's going to be gone. But the more this unfolds and the more you hear coming out of Deshaun Watson's camp, the less likely I believe it is that there's going to be any resolution to this that does not involve trading him.
Yeah, that was an interesting prediction by Steven there. That caught me off guard. I can't see it. You know, basically it comes down to, you know, I guess can David Culley get in his head and talk him into it, but it just seems like everything we're hearing is just that's just they're past that point. That's it. He's resolved and he's not engaging in those discussions. And if that's the case, I would assume that if the Texans just call his bluff, that he's just not going to play next year. And that would cost everyone who likes football. So hopefully that doesn't happen.
Yeah, and, like, to that point, it seems like it's beyond the coach at this point. Like, I'm sure Deshaun Watson doesn't have anything against David Culley, but, like, David Culley's not going to convince him to stay. Like, the issues go way deeper than that at this point. It's with the ownership, it's with the organization, it's with the way that a variety of issues have been handled the past few years. And a new coach coming in, unless it's, you know, a guy that Deshaun Watson just absolutely fully trusts and loves, I have a hard time believing that any coach comes in and changes the way that Watson feels about that situation.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I don't know, like, hey, Deshaun, I hate these owners too, okay? I mean, come on. Yeah, like, I mean,
what are you going to say?
Right. I mean, you know, it's, I don't know. I don't know other than, you know, are you sure anywhere else you go that you're going to like ownership? You know, I mean, it's always, there's no sure thing on that front in this league. And you love this city and you love your teammates and you have a chance to be the all-time greatest member of this franchise, and we have a chance to do something special together. And Bill O'Brien with his dumb trades is out of here. So come on, man. Let's forget the plenty of players in this league can't stand their owners, but you know what? They take their paychecks and they play for other people. There's my sales pitch.
How do you think that would go over?
That probably wouldn't work, but it's worth a shot.
I mean, if you're David Culley, that's what you gotta, I guess, hit your wagon to. And again, Deshaun Watson in Field Yates' piece is going to Carolina and his prediction, and part of that package back would be a draft pick that turns into Justin Fields. So obviously, like, if it ends up playing out that way, And if you're the Titans, like, you've got to feel great about getting Deshaun Watson out of your division. And that would be a victory, I think, no matter how you slice it. But it would be interesting at that point to have maybe Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields coming into this division, two of the guys that we talked about maybe being the two best players available in the draft to begin the college football season last year.
Yeah, that would be fascinating. Two guys who I think could be great quarterbacks in this league and who I don't know will be. And if that's the case, if you're talking Wentz, Tannehill, Lawrence, and Fields, then I will say this without hesitation, and there's no argument. In 2021, the Tennessee Titans have the best quarterback in the AFC South.
Yeah, I would think so too. And, you know, barring just a phenomenal – maybe Urban Meyer comes in and they just light it up in year one, and Trevor Lawrence is amazing. But I would find that to be – pretty unlikely at this point. And I think Ryan Tannehill, if Deshaun Watson's out, pretty clearly the best quarterback based on what I've seen lately out of Carson Wentz.
Yeah, there aren't enough Tim Tebow jump passes at the goal line in the world to to put Trevor over Tannehill in year one. But I will say that I am as interested in watching Jacksonville Jaguars football right now as I have been since – gosh, maybe since like I had like Fred Taylor and Jimmy Smith on my fantasy team. So it's been a while.
Mark Brunell slinging the ball around back in the backfield. When we come back, it's time for Free Beer Friday here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll have a trivia question with your chance to win a $25 gift card from Bavarian Beer House located at Opry Mills Mall. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning. Coming back with Joe Rex Road's favorite artist, Luke Combs, back in the fold here.
Love it. Beer can. I know that song.
You know the words to that song.
I bet you beer can's in it. There's two.
Oh, it's time for Free Beer Friday here on Robbie and Rex.
It's a great
song.
We got your
opportunity to win a $25 gift card from Bavarian Beer House located at Opry Mills Mall with today's trivia question, which, Ryan Porth, I turn things over to you. You could be the first texter at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. The first texter to answer the trivia question correctly will win a $25 gift card from Bavarian Beer House located at Opry Mills Mall.
The trivia question should be, what are all the lyrics to Beer Can by Luke Combs? No, I'm kidding. But the main course, Joe, is Nothing Picks Me Up Like a Beer Can.
Right. Yes. And like you said,
yes.
Nice little word play there.
Yes,
nice
I expect you to listen to that all weekend long. So, trivia question for the gift card to Bavarian Beer House at Opry Mills. Been talking a lot about Carson Wentz to the Indianapolis Colts. Caused me to think of some Colts quarterback history for this trivia question. So, who was the last Indianapolis Colts quarterback to win a playoff game before Peyton Manning arrived? Who was the last Colts quarterback to win a playoff game before Peyton Manning arrived? 615-737-1025. The first correct response to that question wins $25 to Bavarian Beer House.
Good Absolutely. Question. That's a great question.
I think I have a strong guess that I won't give.
I do too.
I could give a hint, but it might give it away. But
we're not giving
feel
hints
like
here on
I
the show.
Know. I feel like I know the answer.
We'll see if you end up knowing the answer. We'll have hopefully some participation on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll have that answer for you coming up here in just a few minutes. Joe, I do want to get to something that Mike Vrabel said last night, and we talked about it earlier, a Q&A he did with the fans last night, and Jim Wyatt put together kind of a recap piece of the highlights from that on TennesseeTitans.com. And one of the things that Vrabel was asked about last night was the kicker and whether or not the Titans might draft a kicker in the NFL draft. And Vrabel's response was this, quote, "If there's a kicker available that we like, we've got to make more kicks. We feel like we're going to have to address that position and see what Steven Goskowski is going to do. His contract is up. We'll see what he wants to do, but we're going to have guys in here that have competition, and we want to find somebody that is going to make them. So what do you think that says about the kicking position? Do you think if Steven Goskowski is available and wants to come back to the Tennessee Titans, that should be the avenue the Titans pursue? Or do you think the Titans could go a different route, maybe way later in the draft or in free agency?
Got to hold better, got to kick better. I took from the whole – everything he said there, you can't sit, you know, wait and see what Steven thinks. I think they will try to re-sign him, and I would say should at this point. Unless somebody can present to me someone absolutely better out there. There are some guys who you could say are better that they've had through here, but they can't get them anymore. So, I suppose you could try to take a flyer on a kicker, but I hate using a draft pick on a kicker unless it's like a absolute, like a Janikowski, Rodrigo Blankenship type guy that you might have to use a little bit higher pick on. I don't like the idea of like some late round flyer on a kicker. I'd rather just go out there in the free agent market where most of them are found and try my luck there. And I certainly am looking for somebody to beat out Goskowski in camp, but I think he's the best option as far as established kickers.
So what you're saying is you don't want the Titans to pull a Tampa Bay Bucks from 2016 and draft, you know, a kicker with the 59th overall pick in the second round.
My goodness. Oh, and remember, like, this is, you know, this is the guy who has a Lombardi right now that they're throwing from boat to boat, you know? And of course that's a John Robinson. John Robinson was on that staff right before that pick, by the way, but he was not on the staff during that pick. He was out of there. So yes. So, but Jason Light survived all that to get to the bowl because of the omniscient, all-knowing sea monster known as Tom Brady.
Huh? What word did you just try to use? And is it in the English language?
Omnipotent? Yeah.
Yeah, omnipotent? Come on, man. All-powerful. Omniscient, I think, is all-knowing.
Yes.
And then there's like, what is there? Omnipresent?
Omnipresent.
You know? Yeah.
Those are the three.
Man. Omnipotent. These are great words. This describes Tom Brady. He is a mythical creature who makes other players play better. And all the other players who were good on his teams before, it's only because he inspired them with his greatness.
Does it describe Jim Harbaugh?
I knew it.
Jim Harbaugh is the correct answer to the trivia question.
To know I would have gotten that correctly.
The last Colts quarterback to win a playoff game before Peyton Manning arrived, and Nate on our text line is the winner.
Well, congratulations to Nate winning a $25 gift card to Bavarian Beer House located in Opry Mills. Guessing that Jim Harbaugh, the last quarterback to win a playoff game for the Colts before Peyton Manning. So, Joe, that was my guess. I was not 1,000% sure, but that was the direction I was leaning. And it's good to know that even though that happened when I was a young child, I was very smart.
Very good. Nice work. Good job, Nate. Enjoy the beer. Yeah, in fact, so Darren Donk and Chase coming up. I've heard D-Mac talk about he covered the game. People may remember Colts-Steelers AFC title game. And Harbaugh actually threw a Hail Mary into the end zone that was close to win that and put the Colts in the Super Bowl. Instead, it was the Steelers who I think they went on and lost to the Cowboys. But, yeah, Harbaugh had a nice little run with them. And, like, I don't even remember – so that was like 95, and then it's like I'd love to know the list of terrible quarterbacks they had between that and, you know, Peyton taking over. I'm sure it's a distinguished list.
I'm sure it is as well. Let's quickly go back to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Alex texts in and talking about the kicker says, what do you think about Matt Prater or Dustin Hopkins for the Titans to go after? Matt Prater's still got that leg, man. He can boot it.
Yeah. No, big time. Yeah, that's not bad. I don't necessarily either of those names. I would not necessarily say, oh, you have to keep Goskowski. I mean, I think it's worth talking about. You know, the thing is, like, Goskowski was like, he figured it out, you know,
even after I fired him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, at that time it was close, but he seemed to figure it out. So now is that him? It's hard to, you know, he's older. His overall body works amazing. But I don't think I think Prater is losing it some, but he's still pretty good. I think him in particular would be interesting as an alternative.
Joe, quickly, let's go to Twitter. Paul on Twitter asks, when is 102.5 The Game going to put on a charity boxing event with Jared Stillman versus Joe Rexroad?
Well, I don't want to hurt him. I mean, I know he did 3 push-ups yesterday before the Carson Wentz thing. How about like basketball? You know, can we do that? Let's see if Jared will agree to that. I won't feel as bad about throwing his shot into the fourth row as I would about actually pummeling him. I don't want that on my conscience.
I'm very much rooting for the charity boxing event. I think it's a great idea by Paul. We see if we can't put that together. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex.
Love you, Jared.
Hope everybody has a wonderful weekend. Hopefully this snow and ice melts at some point over the weekend too, so we can get back to traveling as normal. We'll be back on Monday morning. Darren Donick and Chase is coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.
No, nothing beats me up like a beer can.